Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I am not Scott Warner. We've been praying for Scott and Melissa. They've been under the weather this week, and Scott was determined that by the weekend that he would be here with you to share in our worship and deliver God's message today, and just wasn't able to be here. So Scott, I know you're probably watching online, and Melissa, know that we love you, and we're praying for you to be well soon and back with us. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to begin in a little bit of a different way today, partially because I'm the last-minute substitute, and partially because it is good and right that God's people come together and dwell deeply and richly in God's Word. Yes? So I'm going to invite you into this practice, dwelling in the Word. You're going to see that on the screen as I walk through a description here this morning, except you're not going to see it on this screen, which is apparently out of commission today. So for those of you on this side, bear with us. It'll be right here and up here and over here, dwelling in the Word, because we believe that the Word of God is living and active. Yes, it is not just an ancient word, a word describing something in the past, but it is living and it is active and it is moving and it is breathing, and we are receiving it in our own time and place as faithful stewards of God's Word. We are dwelling in God's Word because the Word of God is living and active, and we're dwelling in the Word of God together. Yes? We're not just independent, autonomous, free agent interpreters of God's Word. We are drawn deeply into community to dwell together in God's Word, because not only is the Word of God living and active, but the Spirit of God is among the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God is among the people of God, and the Spirit of God is breathing life into the Word of God and into our life. So we're going to dwell deeply in God's Word together this morning, and the passage is not the one you see in your bulletin. Again, last minute change, but is this passage from Mark 8. And we're going to dwell in this passage in Mark 8 in a particular way. I'm going to read this. You're going to see the words on the screen. I'm going to read the passage, and I'm going to ask you where you are to simply sit and receive the reading of that word. I want you to listen for a single word or phrase that captures your imagination. This is not a test. I'm not looking for someone to get the right word or the right phrase. We're paying attention to where God catches us this morning, where God catches you as you listen to the Word of God this morning. We're going to read and reflect and read and reflect several times. And again, listening for a single word or phrase that catches. Now, so let me tell you what I know happens, because I know how this works. Is something's going to catch your attention when you listen to the reading of this passage. And you're going to start to think about it, and then you're going to go, oh no, I've got to catch up with Stephen. He's reading the rest of it. And you're going to stop thinking about that which caught your attention. I'm giving you permission to not worry about the rest, but to sit with whatever captures your imagination, right? Begins to move you in your heart. And to sit with that as we read through this several times. At the end of this, I'm going to ask you to find someone else, not the person sitting right next to you, and to share with them what caught your imagination. All right? I'll tell you more about that in a moment. Okay, so let's center ourselves. Remember, the Word of God is living and active. The Spirit of God is among the people of God. Let's center our hearts and receive the reading of God's Word. Join me now in silence as we begin to reflect together on what God might be doing and speaking to us today. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. And hear the word of the Lord again. His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" This is the wrong slide. If you could find the first one. Yes, there we go. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. And once more we hear these words. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Okay, this is not hug and howdy, but I'm going to invite you to stand and find one other person for just a few minutes, and I want you to tell them, as you're comfortable doing so today, what caught you? What grabbed your attention? I want you to listen to each other carefully And after we've done that for just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to sit down. It'll be like herding cats, as always, but I'll try and get your attention and sit down. And then I'm going to ask just a few of you to share, what did you hear? And we'll have some folks with microphones to do that, okay? So this is share. Again, the question is, if you guys will throw that up on the screen, what was there a single word or phrase that captured your imagination, okay? So everyone stand, find someone you don't usually connect with, introduce yourself, say, hey, here's what I heard today. Hello, hello. Just another minute or two, or just another few more seconds. Kind of. The Word of God is living and active. If you could find your places now. We believe that the Spirit of God is among the people of God. I also, so if you could go ahead and have a seat. I also believe that you could go on doing this for quite a bit longer, couldn't you? Thank you for engaging, listening, and sharing with each other. There are a few people stationed around the room who have microphones. And I'm going to ask those of you who are willing, and we won't be able to get to everyone who might want to share, to just stand and say, hey, I met so-and-so, and this is what they said they heard, okay? So I'm going to call foul if you say what you heard. Make sense? I mean, I won't really call foul. I'm just trying to make the point. I want you to share what you heard someone else say, okay? So who would like to share? Back here. Yes, sir. Okay, go Ricky first, and then they're moving into position there. Yeah, please.
I heard Kim say that she heard that he had compassion on the people.
Oh, yeah. That word compassion, right? Good. Thank you so much. And who was that?
It was Ms. Carolyn Anderson.
Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn, for that. Yes.
Josh Torres also said the phrase, I have compassion on these people.
Wow. Thank you, Josh.
He also liked the part where they gave what they had, and Jesus made it abundant.
Wow. Yes, thank you so much. Someone else? Anybody back on this side? I don't want to miss this side of the room. Right there, Ricky?
Yes, I heard Philip and Heidi say that they were hungry. They've been there 3 days, so they were hungry.
Yes.
And a physical need we all have experienced. And Jesus was hungry, too.
Yes. This story centers around compassion and concern for those who are hungry, who do not have what they need to sustain themselves. Thank you for sharing that. Over here? Yes, young man? Maybe not. Rethinking that strategy? One or two more? Who would want to share? Oh, yes, please.
Dax, right here behind me, heard 4,000 people.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, I'm looking at this room. We're about to eat, thinking that's a lot of mouths to feed, but 4,000. Thank you. One more. Yes, sir.
Tim and I both saw that if you follow Jesus 7 days a week, 7 loaves of bread, that if you follow him, he'll take care of you all the days of your life.
Wow, that's really great. Thank you so much. We could do this for a while, and it would be good and right to do this for a while. Let's stop and give thanks for speaking to us by this word today. God, we thank you for your word that is living and active, and for your Spirit that dwells among us. And even as in these few moments we share with one another and then listen across this room, we hear you speaking and moving. We thank you that you're a God of compassion who cares for us, and out of that compassion is moved to fill in the empty spaces. Bless us as we continue to listen and reflect and share in the depth, in the wisdom, in the richness of your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, this story that we're dwelling in Mark 8 this morning, thank you guys, is not the only story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus feeds a crowd. It's not even the first one. The first one is not in Mark 8, but is in Mark 6. And it's very similar in some ways. In fact, if you were just kind of glossing over those stories, you might think, well, it's kind of two versions of the same story. But there are a few differences. In Mark 6, there's crowds. It's not 4,000, it's 5,000. And Jesus is teaching, and he slips away with his disciples to get a little respite from his teaching in the crowds, because like anyone, he's exhausted, they're exhausted, but the crowds outflank him. Literally, they outflank him. They figure out where he's going, and they rush ahead. I'm not sure how all that happened. And when Jesus gets to the place where he's going to retreat for a little while, they're already all there again. And so they just continue in this cycle. And late in the day, in that remote place that Jesus and his disciples have gotten away to, the disciples are the ones who say in Mark 6, we've got to send these people away so that they can get themselves something to eat. And Jesus says a strange thing in Mark 6. He looks at the disciples who've raised this problem, and he says to them, well, give them something to eat. Can you imagine? Well, you give them something to eat. And their response, their immediate response is, huh? I mean, that's my translation, huh? They look at each other, I imagine, and they say, if we were going to feed this crowd of 5,000 people, that costs a lot of money. And they say a specific amount. It equates to nearly a half a year's wages. So it's like, come on, Jesus, what do you mean? And then Jesus looks at them and says, what do you have? Look around, what do you have? And they say on that occasion, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus takes them and blesses them and breaks them and gives them, and there's more than enough. They take up at the end of that a collection of the leftovers. You know how at the restaurant you ask for the carryout container? They kind of do that. They're baskets, and they fill them up with all the leftovers, and there's 12 basketfuls left. Then there's this story that we've just been dwelling in Mark 8. Mark 6, feeding of the 5,000. Mark 8, feeding of the 4,000. And again, there's a crowd. And this time, it's Jesus who raises the question. 3 days, no food. These people, we've called out. A number of you heard that in our dwelling. Jesus' compassion for them. In Mark 8, no food. And it's the disciples who say, this is a remote place. Where can we get food? Now, remember, in Mark's telling of this sequence of feeding stories, they've just successfully fed 4,000 people. And then in Mark 8, the scenario kind of presents itself again, and it's the disciples who say, where can we get food? And again, Jesus asked them, well, what do you have? Not, do you have enough, or how much money is that going to cost, or any of that. What do you have? And again, they say, we've got some loaves of bread, 7 loaves, and a few small fish, and it's more than enough. You heard. He breaks the bread and blesses it. And he does the same with the fish, and they distribute it to the groups of people, and there's more than enough. 7 basketfuls left over. The stories are not just about fish tacos. That you haven't imagined it that way, but it's unleavened bread and it's fish, and I'm thinking fish. No, okay. The story isn't just about food. It's not just about bread and fish. The story is about the nature of God's kingdom unfolding, and Jesus, who's come to announce and declare and then embody God's kingdom that's unfolding right in front of them, and Jesus, who's inviting them to come along the way and not only to see and to know the inbreaking of God's kingdom, but to enter into it, right? It's about God's kingdom, about the abundance of God's provision from what we already possess. It's enough. And it's interesting that there's two of these stories in Mark's gospel, because it's also a story about the disciples and their inability to grasp the nature of this kingdom, which starts to sound a little bit like us. These disciples who hear and see and follow, but they don't see clearly. They kind of see, but everything looks a little bit fuzzy. They see the nature of this kingdom coming near, and they think they understand it, but they don't really see it. And so it's little wonder that when this question comes about food and is there enough, that they're thinking there's not enough. Because they've been so immersed in a world shaped for them that tells them, you know what? You better look out. You better plan well. You better do well. You better perform well, or there won't be enough. You recognize that world? I recognize that world. It's a lot like the world that we live and move in. A world of scarcity, where there's not enough, where we're not enough. My friends from years back in Buffalo Gap, you've heard me tell Buffalo Gap stories before, and I've even told you about my friends James and Kay Littles, little old couple who've gone on to be with the Lord now after all these years, who lived in this little rock house in Buffalo Gap, very poor, rural poor, but filled with the joy of the Lord. And as I got to know them over time and spend time with them at their house, I recognized that they had to make hard choices about whether they could purchase the medicine that they needed or whether they would buy the food that they needed. That's a hard choice, isn't it? And it feels like there's not enough. But what I love about James and Kay is that they didn't allow themselves, even though that was their reality, to be captured and captivated by a world of scarcity. They lived with joy and trust in the abundance of God. Maybe you recognize this world of not enough. And maybe in some ways, it's your experience too. If you've ever been a part of a relationship where you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've worked at it, and you worked hard to try and understand, and you worked through all the frustration and all the anger and bitterness and all the fights and all of that. If you've ever been in a relationship, and maybe it was a marriage, maybe it was with family, if you've ever been in a relationship where you've tried and tried, but at the end of the day, it still feels like not enough. That's the world of scarcity. If you've ever felt grief weigh so heavy, and you've tried to find words, and you tried to reach deep down and find faith in the midst of that grief, and yet in that moment where the grief is so thick and so heavy, it feels like none of it is enough. Do you recognize that world? Can we be honest enough in church to confess that we know that world that presses in on us? It's late in the day. We've been at this for 3 days straight. We're in a remote place. These people are famished. They're going to faint. We care about them, and there's not enough. That's the world of scarcity. Maybe even some of you know what it's like to feel that deep down, no matter how hard you try, you're not enough. You ever feel like that? Sometimes. That's the world of scarcity that Jesus walks into alongside us, alongside these disciples, late in the day. The sun's been hot. We've been at it for a long time. We're getting famished and fatigued, and there's just not enough. Jesus walks into that space and says, wait a minute. Look around. What do you have? Because that's enough. Amen?
Amen?
That's enough. Who you are, who God's made you to be, regardless of what's gone before you, is enough. Whatever you think you're lacking by way of material goods, what do you have? Because it's enough. By God's grace, it's enough. Whatever grief and doubt, whatever anger and bitterness and despair, God walks into that space late in the day and says, there's enough here. I don't know if you can see it, but there's enough here. Jesus keeps drawing them. Jesus keeps drawing us into the abundance of God's life, into the abundance of God's provision, more than enough. What God has already placed among us and in us is enough. What God has already done, we've celebrated and declared to each other. What God has already done in Jesus is enough. Among us collectively, and I mean literally in this room, when we're spending time talking about where is God leading us, what does God have for us, what is He calling us to do, who is He calling us to be, and we open ourselves to God's leading to cast visions and dream dreams about what God might do among us, some among us are going to say, I don't know how we'd do that. Not enough. And God says, look, there's already enough among you. Over against a world of scarcity, God invites us into the kingdom, which is a world of abundance, which is a world of enough. So when we gather around the table this morning, which we're going to do in just a few moments, which is also about the tables that we're seated around literally and figuratively this morning. And we break bread. Recognize this. He took the bread, 7 loaves, and he broke it, and he blessed it. And there was enough. And we're going to share a common cup. And in the most dry, desolate, and thirsty places of our soul, we're going to receive that cup, and it's going to be enough. And when we gather around tables at morning, noon, or evening, I'm assuming breakfast, lunch, and dinner, in whatever places we find ourselves, we who follow hard after Jesus are looking around and declaring, more than enough. You are people of the more than enough. And the places where you live and the places where you work, I gotta tell you, I oversee a campus for the university, and this, our fiscal year, this is more information than you need, begins June 1, and that means that for the last 6 weeks, we've been in kind of all the fiscal stuff, all the budget stuff. Some of you can recognize this, which is there's a whole lot of, man, I don't know how we're gonna do that, or how we're gonna hit that, or how we're gonna get to that. I'm telling you, in a world that we live and move in all kinds of ways, some of you are going to move in relationships with people and in work that you do, where you're going to be surrounded by, we are surrounded by the not enough. But you who've gathered at this table, bread broken, blessed and given, are the people of the more than enough. I'm going to start preaching now. You're the people of the more than enough. And by the living word of God in our midst, and by the moving spirit of God in our midst, the whole point of being here and around this table and in this word is to believe that we are the people of the more than enough. Amen. There's a world out there that craves someone who will show them what it looks like in the kingdom of God to live the more than enough. Our God is a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. Amen. So when his people wandered out into the middle of the wilderness, into a future God had promised them with hope, and it looked like a dead end, because what? There's no food out here. God rains down manna from heaven, more than enough. Can you believe it? Do you believe it? And when they wandered a little bit further and there was no water, because they're in the desert and there's no water, and they look around at each other and they turn on Moses to say, what have you done? There's no water out here. The world of scarcity. It's God who through Moses strikes the rock and there's water that flows, leads them underneath the palms to pools of water, more than enough. You are the people of the more than enough. Amen. And despite every influence that pushes and presses upon you and me and us as a community in our own time and place and in every way to give in to the not enough, we take bread, we break it, we bless it, and we trust the God of all abundance, the God of more than enough. Thanks be to God.
The God of more than enough calls us to lay our lives down. And we ask, how can I give all of that? And he supplies everything we need.